You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Neil Atkinson, Paul Senior, Philippa Smallwood and Andy Heaton with you from now until 7:30 on the radio. Pleasure to be here this evening in Liverpool as you're on your way home. I'm looking forward to what should be a fantastic evening. Just close the bags with Philippa, it'll be fine. What should be a fantastic weekend of football. Liverpool up against Crystal Palace on Sunday at 4:30. And it's an opportunity, this, Paul. I can't get my head around how much of an opportunity it is, because what it does, I think, this game is it creates a gap between Liverpool and Manchester City if they can win it. Looking at the whole top four picture, it creates this gap, which, you know, it's easy for City to say. So there's games in hand. Of course there's games in hand. Yeah. There's always games in hand. But all of a sudden, things just look a little bit difficult from their point of view. It's the same for Arsenal. United will know what they've done against Burnley, but it's the same for Arsenal as well. You get to the sort of point where you can say games in hand all you want. The mountain just looks really, really big.
Yeah, I mean, that psychological gap would be a good thing to have. I mean, if they've obviously got the game at the weekend. And it's, the lead up to this fixture has been the sort of typical Liverpool lead up, where all of a sudden Crystal Palace become the Harlem Globetrotters, the same as we were treating, you know, West Brom last week, where everyone was talking about what's the centre half, McCauley. And this week everyone will live in fear of Benteke. But Liverpool are going about the business in a sort of solid way, if we can just do what we have. I mean, last week that game on paper was exactly what Liverpool didn't want, and we went there and did it at Anfield. I think only Swansea have beaten us at home, I think I'm right in saying. I'm confident, because I've seen the way Liverpool go about the business at home this season, and in the main it's been excellent. That being said, you'd never put anything past them, would you?
Well, you'd never put anything past them, Andy, but it is a real opportunity. And it's worth pointing out, Liverpool are now unbeaten in seven. And unbeaten in seven is, you know, it means something. It's worth a carrot. That also includes five wins.
Listen, I'm with Paul. We've got a terrible habit of convincing ourselves we're going to make life difficult for ourselves. And if the last couple of weeks have proven anything, it's that we're slaying ghosts everywhere. The Johnny Walters ghost, gone. The Pulis away ghost, gone. Don't convince yourself that it's going to be difficult. We're better than Crystal Palace. We're our own. So Christian Benteke, so what?
Well, that's just my point on it, Philip, is that Liverpool should find a way to have too much. I think that what worries you about Palace is that, you know, just to bring them into it before we come back out, we're going to speak to Robbie Scotcher later on, but it's the quality in attack, I think, where they've got a lot of lads who are very capable of just doing a little bit of something. Running direct with the ball, running a goal, running past people, pace in there, and then the size of Benteke. That's what concerns me. It's the pace and size aspect. The idea that, you know, it doesn't feel impossible to imagine Zaha getting in behind. It's then whether or not he's got the quality or Liverpool can keep whatever's in the box out.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think my recent memory of us against Crystal Palace is the likes of Bolasie, Zaha, Punchin, those sorts of players just having an unbelievable game against us. That's my concern. But then I think the two guys are right. You know, if we play how we've been playing recently, there's no reason why Crystal Palace should should be any sort of fearsome opposition. And I wouldn't say I'm confident, but I'm probably more confident than I have been for the last two games.
It's wouldn't be the first time in the last couple of weeks he's done this, but I think you're going to do well to take a leaf out of Rafa Benitez as a coach, Emmanuel, because if Rafa come up against a team with two tricky wings and a big striker, what does he do? He doesn't think about the two wings or the striker. He just cuts off the supply.
Yeah.
You do that, you control the game. Kabay's a great player, but he's slower than, well, he's probably possibly the slowest player in the league. They're vulnerable.
Press them all over,
dominate them at the middle of the park, which we've been doing quite well, actually. They're no great shakes at the back. It's been stood out, especially with no Sacco. Sacco seems to be their totem. He's not going to be there. He's not going to play. So, yeah, just cut the supply. Don't be panicking about. And I really rate Zaha, by the way. I'd have him at Liverpool. I think he's got quality and I think he's got a unique action with his right foot where he can bend it both ways with one foot. But that's a different conversation. Stop him getting the ball, he can't hit you.
There's, but on that, Andy, just go back to you, there is a point to be made. I agree with you in terms of, you know, you always cut supply lines. That's always the smart way to do stuff. But at centre-back, you know, Palace will be buoyed almost certainly. No Matip, no Clavin and no Lucas. You know, they're likely to be coming up against someone who's really rather young.
Well, you know, you say that. You know, no one suggested, and it might be a bit of a wild card, but don't forget he did actually perform. It's only when he was stuck there for a while that he kind of went off the boil. Emre Can's played that position.
But then who plays midfield? No Henderson, no Lallana. I'll keep moving them for you. I can see what you're doing with the pieces, but you keep having a gap. And then play Albi Moreno left back.
Could do. Push them back. One thing Albi is quick, and he's up against a quick winger, and we're trying to dominate higher up the pitch. If he can push them back, why not?
The talk is, you know, the one...
Argue with that.
Well, no, I think my argument with that would be that he's talking about that Grujic is also the one who's being thrown in, the idea that he might go with Grujic. I think there's loads and loads of reasons why Moreno's got nowhere near it. We don't know what they are. It could just be that he doesn't fancy him. He's not really had that much of a look.
Could be a height thing.
And it could also be a height thing or an organisation thing in a game like this. But, you know, the other one that stands out to me as well is Grujic just come back in. But it's more the idea, Paul, that at this stage of the season, you become like the walking wounded. I think it's happening up and down the country. Chelsea, suddenly, for the first time this season, they've got a couple of injury problems. United have lost a couple in the Europa League last night. It didn't look nice for either Rojo or Ibrahimovic, to be honest with you. And that's, you know, that's just from what we know at the moment. It's what we now do to the footballers. The seasons are so long, so intense that they do begin to drop like flies. And Liverpool, I think, have suffered from it right the way through the campaign, but it's even more intense now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just getting 11 senior lads on the pitch has proven quite difficult at the moment. But as you said, I think ours is slightly more extreme than most, but it's not a unique situation because a lot of sides have come up against it. That being said, I still think what we can bring in, whether you do bring in Albi Moreno and you do bring in Grujic or whatever we do choose to go with, I don't think one or two pawns missing from the side that beats West Brom can't beat Crystal Palace at home.
You could even bring Trent in and shift Klein over to the other side if you wanted to, you know, if you worried about, because Klein's played that position before.
I actually think that might be what he does. If you need to use Milner in the midfield, I think he'll invert Klein and put him on at left back. I wouldn't personally. I don't see what the point in having a.
I'm with you. I'd play Moreno.
And he played very well in the away leg. I thought it's one of the only opportunities he's had all year. Moreno, and I thought he gave a decent account of himself. He could change the system. I don't think that's really an option. I think
we're playing with a back four. I presume we're playing with a back four.
Yes, absolutely, and I think. You can't play three against wingers, really. I think some sides like that. I think a Liverpool side that's going to try and want to dominate the ball at home as won't want to be playing three centre halves. It would be hard enough to get them on the pitch.
My whole argument with moving Chan back is I sat with you for a game last Monday. It escapes me now. Chan, even though he was playing in midfield, he was effectively playing as a third centre half anyway, and he was dropping back deep anyway. So if he's going to be that deep, you know, if he's going to be playing essentially as a third anyway, because Benteke plays, they're going to be playing the second ball. That's what we've been playing, big man at the back. We've tried to compete with it, but more than that, we've tried to screen off. So he's going to be playing that deep anyway.
Yeah. Philip, what would you go with? You've heard all this now. They've all been throwing the questions at you all the way through. What do you think that Liverpool will end up going with?
I personally probably go with Moreno. I think Paul's got a point there about you know, putting them on the back foot a little bit. I think if you go with somebody who's maybe going to be a little bit reserved because they're not used to playing in that position, then, you know, you're kind of handing them a little bit more of the initiative, whereas at least Moreno, you know, he's used to playing at left back. He's got plenty of pace that, you know, we've seen him make plenty of mistakes before, but you kind of feel like at least against Zaha, he's got a chance of getting back in there and getting a challenge in. So that's what I would do. I have absolutely no idea. Part of me is hoping that although there's this talk that all three of those players are potentially going to miss the match, that, you know, it's just precautionary and maybe one or two of them might still be available come Sunday.
And this is the side of the game that fascinates me. Me and you've talked at length about this. Is we're all worried about Palace. We never take into account what the opposition are thinking about Liverpool.
Yeah.
Well, we will come on to talk about the positives later on. Robbie Scotch is going to come and join us, and I know Robbie very much rates Liverpool, so we'll have a conversation there about the very fact as to what we're going to be doing.
Linking there, mate.
Lovely linking work. I'm very, very pleased with it myself, and we'll have a chat later on about Liverpool's the strength that they've shown in recent weeks, and we're going to rave a little bit about Roberto Firmino, because I don't think there's actually been enough of it off the back of his last game and a half as it's become. That's coming up very, very soon indeed. We're also going to be having a chat about the Smithdown Road Festival. As I said before, Robbie Scotch, who supports Crystal Palace, contributes to loads of our stuff, is fantastic. He's coming after 7 o'clock, and then we'll be back to have a good long look at exactly what should be scaring Crystal Palace coming into this game, and what it is that they can be worried about, and what it is that Liverpool can do to them. Liverpool are indeed currently ranked as the third best team in the country, and it will do us all good to remember that back very, very shortly. That was Girls and Boys by Blur. Come to shock to you, John Gibbons.
Streets like a jungle. Call the police.
John Gibbons very briefly coming in because we talk about the Smithdown Road Festival with Kev MacArthur, who's the man behind it. And Kev, you've had a big week.
Very big week.
Haven't you, mate? Yeah, yeah. I've heard a lot about you, Kev. Should we talk about Kev's big week? I mean, no, it wasn't as though you got a general election thrown at you, but it's a pretty big week.
Got a lot of obstacles, don't I? A lot of things chucked in my way, but no, got to look on the positive side now, and it we've come out. Got a gig in the Palm House. Got the rest.
Is that what you've got? So talk us through it. You had a gig at the Mystery.
We had the Mystery.
Didn't come together.
No.
So they gave you the Palm House.
They didn't give us the Palm House. We went looking for different venues. And as I mentioned to John before, there happened to be a wedding cancelled in the Palm House. So we stumbled across that.
That's magnificent.
It is, yeah. So the main stage is now there.
It's an awkward thing to celebrate.
It is an awkward thing, but we had to have a shandy after.
Hey, long may those two people remain separated, that's what I say.
Well, they can have a free drink if they come to the festival.
Or maybe just one of them.
Different days, it's Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, is it? Oh, sound, yeah. Different days, keep them apart. Kev, let's talk about the festival, Smithdown Road Festival. It's very much a celebration of that community. You work for Kelly's, isn't it?
I'm Kelly's, yeah.
And it's very much a celebration of Smithdown Road, of everything that is within Liverpool. But there's loads and loads going on in this festival.
Oh, there is, yeah. So there's... On the street alone, there's 9 venues now.
Really?
Because we've got a couple of new ones opened, Craft, and then the Handyman, who are sponsoring it, and you've kindly got a beer for later.
I can't wait for that one.
As well as like the Gregson Institute, which is on Garmoyle Road. There'll be like a pop-up cinema event in there. And then obviously the Palm House as well, which is a little bit further away than we hoped, but we're going to do shuttle bus runs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a bit bigger, isn't it, as well? It's a big venue, the Palm House.
Yeah, it's 600 capacity. So we're going to get a crowd. I mean, we've got Saturday, Dave McCabe and Space headlining. And then Sunday, Craig Charles is going to play. So I'd get in early if you're coming that day.
What are the dates? Just a little...
29th, 30th of April. And then the festival does actually still run on the Monday, but just in the venues on the street. Yeah.
And when you mean the venues in the street, that's where there's bands playing up.
Kelly's has the Irish Festival on. The Handyman has a comedy festival. Craft's got punk. Evil Eye's got acoustic. There's probably more than that as well. Cafe Oro, Fat Flamingo, they've got stuff on. Naked Lunch, they've got Melatonin Records coming in to doing stuff with
them. Great lads.
Yeah, that's a really good new cafe there as well.
It's very much your neck of the woods, this, John. I know you love this festival. Yeah. You've been talking about it for ages.
Yeah, L15's I'm very fond of. I've lived a lot of my life there, and it's a great place to kind of live and work, if you like. And it's getting more and more vibrant all the time. You know, Kev just mentioned a couple of brand new bars like Craft and Handyman that's opening this Friday, which is exciting. And I just like the idea of kind of businesses working together and not seeing each other as competition, but seeing each other as, you know, if this becomes a good place to go out, then it helps us all. And I think that's the right attitude to have, you know, in life generally, but also, you know, especially with this sort of thing, with in terms of nightlife. And so places kind of working together and showing that it's a vibrant community and it's a place where, you know, things happen. And so bands come into play, and it's just what they managed to attract in such a short period of time, because it's only been going 2 years. It feels like a kind of staple now, doesn't it, Kev? But like it's only been going like a couple of years now, and you know, it's grown and grown. And the fact that, you know, the artists have attracted, I just love the fact that Mark Morris is playing from the Blue Tones, is playing in Kelly's on the Sunday night. It's just such a cool booking, really. And, you know, there's bands reforming to get involved. There's emerging bands who are doing really well, who are getting involved as well. So it's just a really nice lineup, and it's just a good vibe. You can kind of wander around. If somewhere's a bit busy, you go and try somewhere else. And, you know, good times, a lot of good music, and stores and stuff as well, so can't be beat.
There's a lot of people that we've talked about across the variety of different shows that we do, Craig Charles, Space, Dave McCabe, obviously, but Jim Jones and the Righteous Man, we mentioned in the past, Mark Morris from the Blue Tones, Harm, it were ridiculously exciting, some really proper pop songs, Natalie McCool, friend of the show, it's great that she's on, Pete Bentham and the Dinner Ladies, someone who I've spoken about before, the Boston Shakers, great Liverpool band, we played them on other stuff as well, John,
yep.
Shipbuilders, they're absolutely terrific, Lilium have been in, Paul Dehaney looks after them, and he's, you know, he's very, very fond of them indeed, works really, really hard. And then there's the Tramp Attack story, Kev, which is, you know, it's
brings emotion to the festival, doesn't it?
Indeed, really? Do you want to give people the background on that?
Originating Tramp Attack, Chris Ely was the singer, obviously moved on to follow his acting career, but sadly passed away last year. But he was so into encouraging new music, and all around Smithtown, had a couple of places there, always putting fresh bands on. So we dedicated the main stage in his honour, which I think has helped attract people like Dave McCabe to come down and play at it. So yeah, the Palm House will be called the Chris Ely Stage over the weekend.
That's, it's, you mentioned there, John, before, communities coming together. It's something that I think Liverpool's music scene does very, very well, that sort of thing. But it's, you know, it's another fantastic example of it here.
Yeah, it does, yeah, because Chris, that's what Chris was all about. You know, you'd see him, you know, he's worked behind a lot of bars in Liverpool in kind of later life when he stopped the acting and stuff. And, you know, you just speak to him and he'd always have a new band to recommend you to. He'd always have, you know, some mad new discovery from like 60s soul of someone you never heard of. He was so passionate about it. He was going, you've got to listen to this woman who you've never heard of from Detroit and stuff, and you know, it was just amazing. And listening to him DJ, there wasn't many in you, it was always absolutely great. But yeah, Paul Seedy would have that nightmare with him.
But his jacket on in no time.
But he was, you know, fantastic, just passionate about kind of what's going on, and it was great that time off Tramp Attack, and when Dave was starting out with the Zootons and things like that, is I'm really fond of as a time in Liverpool's music history, you know, when the bandwagon was going and stuff. And so it's great that those guys still all feel the connection and still feel connected together. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing Tramp Attack. I can't wait. And you know, all the other stuff that's involved. But, you know, it's not just about nostalgia, because as Sandy Chris was, and there's so loads of, as I say, emerging bands and people who are making waves in Liverpool at the moment, all playing across the few days as well. So yeah, it's just a really nice vibe, and it's fun, and it's all free as well. If we haven't mentioned that, you don't need a wristband, you don't need VIP, you don't need, you know, your name's not down, you're not coming in, just wander in somewhere and see something brilliant.
Stage takeovers from Liquidation, yeah, Buddy Skeleton, Key Records, and Get Into This, they're all doing something. There's also going to be a comedy stage. There's Infinite Wrestling. I don't know what that is, but it sounds really terrifying.
It's absolutely amazing.
Is it? Is it wrestling that never ends?
It's basically. It's like seven wrestling battles, and I think the end is a bit like the Royal Rumble or something. But
really?
We did it last year and families loved it. It was absolutely just spot on. But at the minute, we're trying to find a new venue for that, because that was meant to be in the park. So
it's good. Powerhouse won't take it. Them.
No, it's too mad.
No barbed wire. They have a rule. Mersey swing dance classes are on as well. There's an outdoor food market. There's obviously a kids area. The pop-up cinema is something that Kev's already mentioned. Loads and loads and loads of different stuff, and, you know, loads that's going on. It is the 29th and the 30th of April. All over Smithtown and the Palm House. That's everything that you need on that list. And this is the Anfield Rap on Radio 6. City talk, it's always nice to take a little bit of a break from the football. But this week there was an extract from Simon Hughes' brilliant Ring of Fire book on the website. If you go onto theanfieldwrap.com, you can win an opportunity to, you can win that book, basically. That's what can go on there. You can win that book, and that's an available thing for you there at theanfieldwrap.com. You just click a little thing there, and also you can read that extract. It's a book to be excited about. Kev, what do you want?
We're just going to say that over the weekend, obviously it's all free, but there'll be collections for the Whitechapel Centre, which is a homeless shelter in Liverpool that does really great work, especially at the moment, helping out people who are finding themselves on the streets, often for no fault of their own. So they're a great
charity. So if you can donate.
Yeah, if you see a book, throw a few quid in if you're having a good time.
Excellent stuff. This is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Coming up to 7 o'clock for you right now. After the break, I'm talking to Robbie Scotcher about Crystal Palace, and we'll be back to Paul, Philippa and Andy to have a chat about Liverpool and what the positives are going into the Crystal Palace game. And trust me, there are more than one or two. Welcome back to the Anfield Wrap on City Talk. Back over to Philippa, Andy and Paul in a second or two. But before then, I'm going to have a chat with Robbie Scotcher from Crystal Palace fame. Talks to us all the time about Palace. And Robbie, this is it's a big game this weekend, really. It strikes me as one that Palace could very much do with getting three more points from, and that I think any win in the next two probably makes Palace feel really rather safe. Is that fair?
Absolutely, totally. I mean, this game and the game against Spurs, after these two games, we've got Burnley and we've got Hull, but we don't really want to be going into Burnley and Hull needing a win. And obviously, we could lose ground with these two games because they're two top teams, probably. Playing Liverpool and Spurs now, probably the best two teams in the league, for me anyway. And I think that Saturday's game is huge because I think we might end up resting some players against Spurs, depending how it goes.
Well, I mean, that's what strikes me as interesting. I mean, we've all watched Sam Allardyce do the business he's currently doing through the course of his career, really. And one of the things that he's very, very good at is he's very, very good indeed at sort of picking his moments and picking his games. And I think how this game starts on Sunday at 4:30 is going to have a big impact, I think, because it wouldn't surprise me if Sam Allardyce decides, if Liverpool do get a goal or even two goals ahead, if he decides he cuts his losses there. And then, on the other hand, if Palace can get their nose in front or just feel like they're in the game, Allardyce will conclude, no, we can get bonus points in this one and I'll rest people for the one against Spurs.
Yeah, totally. I mean, It's we've seen it in a few games before. I think the Arsenal game we played a while back, not the one we won, the one before, he just decided it wasn't going our way and, he made different changes, he took players off, and I think that'll be the same thing here. It's quite interesting because the team are playing really well now, really stepping up, but we haven't played a team like Liverpool yet. On our form, we haven't played a team like Liverpool yet. There's been no other team that kind of attack with that kind of pace and that kind of intensity that we've played against. So Chelsea are a little bit more mannered in the way they play. Mm. They're a little, they play around a bit more trying to find openings, whereas Liverpool can just kill you in 10 minutes, literally four goals. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. And there's a few changes in the team as well. Obviously, Sacco's not playing, and he's been a huge thing about the turnaround for us. So it'll be intriguing because Martin Kelly, I imagine, is going to play centre back.
Yeah.
Now that's interesting because obviously he's going to have not something to prove, because I think he had a good time at Liverpool. Really, I don't think he's good enough to be a Liverpool player, so to speak. But he's certainly going to have a great game, and that's going to be fascinating how that plays out.
Well, I mean, that's one of your. You mentioned there, the disruption at the back. He's not been great this season. Not the player he was last season, but, there's no Scott Dan either, is there? So two of the lads who, may well have been linchpins at the back there for Crystal Palace, they're going to be missing. Liverpool have got their own central defensive worries, but it is worth pointing out that it isn't as though, Allardyce can put his preferred pairing or his at least preferred individual in Saka out.
No. So, and what's also interesting, we've got Damien Delaney fit. And he's not going to be playing. He's going to play Kelly instead. I think it's going to go one or two. I mean, Tomkins is back. That's huge. And we've got Patrick Van Aanholt on the left. He's back as well. So there's only one player that's missing out of his selected back four. And the game won't be won or lost, I think, on that moment. But how he steps up is just going to be fascinating. I've got a feeling. Part of the thing, I mean, Dan hasn't been playing for a while, and Dan hasn't played particularly well this season. He's been on and off, but he's been playing with injuries. So And there's also a thing about left-footed, right-footed players at the back. I think we needed someone with a right-footed player that's easy to clear the ball away, which is why they've gone for Kelly. But, yeah. But, I mean, Hennessy as well. Hennessy's changed his game, because I think he's the worst goalkeeper in the Premier League for most of the season. His decision-making, the amount of times he got caught halfway for a cross, halfway for a corner, his decision-making's improved. His shot-stopping's always been good, but his decision-making, his positioning's massively improved, so that's going to be big too. But, I mean, you've got injury worries, haven't you?
Yeah, Liverpool have got the injury worries as well. You know, Liverpool have got real injury worries at the back there, so... With one eye on that. I mean, you know, the one thing that Palace have also done well recently is they've attacked well, and they've attacked with pace and verve, and it doesn't feel really like one where Liverpool want to be messing around, because there's got to be a certain amount of security back there. Both Zaha, who I think is getting wider attention, but Townsend in the last six games or so has gone up a number of levels from what I've seen. He was looking like another flop of a certain type, a certain ilk, of sort of wide midfielders in England who either come in from abroad and then struggle to move twice, or just in general, you know, an English midfielder who, Alan David Bentley or something, get to move and never quite manages to hit Sean any Wright heights. Phillips. And he's just Sean Wright Phillips, yeah. But instead, he's last six games or so, everything I've seen, he's looked terrific.
He's been immense. I think I mentioned before, Sammy Lee made the difference, sat down and had a word with him, had a chat with him. Also, I think the other thing is there was a lot of... Kelly was behind Townsend for most of it. Kelly was on his wing from the start of the season, and he didn't want to switch wings with Zaha, and he fell out with Park. There was so much going on there. But now it's... The way Allardyce has got the team playing, they don't make needless runs. They don't make stupid passes. They don't run down blind alleys. They do the simple things very well, especially with Kabay and Milivojevic as well. That's so hard to say. It's absolutely shored up the centre of the pitch, which has now given Townsend and Zaha room to absolutely just go for it. And that won't change. Throughout the game, there'll be at least four times that both those players will get through.
Because they're so tricky and they're so capable on the ball, and also is Benteke bedding in with them better now as well? I noticed, for instance, I thought he was great, even though he didn't get on the score sheet. I thought he was great against Arsenal. It was it was one of those performances where you realise a lot of the work he does when he finds himself dropped in and the ball's at his feet a little deeper. I think that frustrated you at times when he was at Liverpool, but he's very good at bringing people into play.
One thing I've noticed is when he first came in with Pardew, he wasn't really closing players down that much. He was always conserving his pace, kind of saving that. He's closing down a lot more as well now. He's kind of defending from the top, so to speak. And I think in doing that, that might mean he's not been in the, you know, the final spot to score the goal or whatever. But he really has been immense. He really has. But the way he's been holding up the ball, laying off the ball, the runs he's making, how he's bringing those two players in, and Jason Puncheon, He's a big focal point there, and I think at the weekend he's going to be really causing Liverpool some problems. I mean, Gomez, is that who he's up against?
It could well be that he's up against Young Gomez. That's what it looks like, and Benteke's smart enough to know who he wants to play on in a game like this.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's the old adage as well. He's coming back to his old club.
Exactly.
That happened.
Yeah, well, but I'm expecting, you know, two Crystal Palace goals, one from Benteke and one from Martin Kelly. Lined up for this one.
If you had 100 quid on that.
The other one player I actually wanted to talk about, who again appears to have come to life in the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks, is Kabay. And he's such a strange footballer in many ways, in that he's undoubtedly hugely talented. He's not the most mobile in the middle of the park. He's never struck me as one who gets around the pitch. It's not that he can't win his battles, but he needs his battles to come to him. Has Allardyce got him a pair of legs in there, someone who he can dovetail with alongside, and someone who, you know, has he got Punch and doing some work for him? How has he managed to start getting the best out of him?
Well, it kind of all started with Sakho. I don't want to talk too much about that because it's obvious to see. Anyone can watch him and see what he's doing. Because he's the focal point. You've got Millie just in front, and Millie has now, before Kabay was kind of being a bit of a stopper, being a bit of a nullifier, having to man mark a lot more. That's what Millie does. Millie does all that now, and he does it amazingly well. He's a top six player. He really is. So that frees up Kabay to then maybe not be the guy blocking, but standing to the left a bit, which means he's got two more yards than he had before. You've got Punchin coming close to him, and Punchin drops in to give him an option. And then the two wingers, off they go on their bike. And then Benteke's looking, stepping forward, taking up the middle. It's just, he's got more space. But Allardyce has played in a way to open up teams in the middle there, just creating an extra 2 yards. And give Kabay an extra 2 yards, I mean. And then he can start floating and moving forward. The goal he scored against Arsenal, that's a great goal.
Indeed, it is a fantastic strike. So I'm going to begin to put you on the spot a little bit on this one. Robbie, I know you tend to be very much behind Palace and expect them to do well and expect them to get results. How would you see the game going, and what sort of scoreline are you plumping for?
Well, I mean, I'm not just going to say this because of the audience, but I mean, I think the two teams you don't want to play right now are Liverpool and Tottenham. And you watch Liverpool and Liverpool are scary, and you've got players out of nothing can just score worldy goals, switch off for a second and you're going to get punished. It's a big, big, tough game for Palace. Whereas I think you're definitely going to get third, and you know, who knows? But a point would be an amazing result. I mean, my head would say that Liverpool are going to win this, but my heart, whenever Palace play Liverpool, I don't know why, it's always a great game. It's always a different game. And I think if we concede early in the first half, I think then it's just going to go out as a 2-0, 3-0 loss, and then he's going to take players off. If we get the first goal, I think that's going to be a mental game.
Oh, okay. Always good to speak to Robbie. We're going to play a song in a minute or two, but before then, I just want to go through a couple of little things to give a shout out to. The third run for the 96 will take place on Stanley Park on Sunday, the 14th of May. The website address is btrliverpool.com/run-4-96 as the number, -5K. We will obviously tweet that link out at the Anfield Wrap. We'll get that one tweeted out for you. It's also got a 1 mile fun run at the end, at the finish of the previous 5K. So that's the way in which it can all work. Everyone can come together. It's a legacy event for the local communities, and in particular the LFC Foundation and Everton in the community. Last year, just over £10,000 was raised. So you can enter the 5K, you can enter the 1 mile run. It is Run for the 96, and we will tweet the link out on the Anfield Wrap. Other thing to mention as well is that it's Marine's last home game of the season, and they've got a beer festival on post-match, so it's obviously the 3 o'clock kickoff. And then the Shipbuilders are playing Saturday night. They're putting a show on the Shipbuilders, managed by John Gibbons, and he's played as Joker, and he's going to be playing trumpet with them as part of an acoustic event. It's the sort of thing you get to do when you manage that sort of band. You can just say you fancy a go on the trumpet, and they've got to say yes. And he's really excited about it. John, he loves playing with the Shipbuilders. He loves playing with a couple of lads there. So that's Marine on Saturday night. There are two things I wanted to give a shout out to. Going to play a song for you now. I'm going to play In Excess's Mystify, and then we're going to get back and we're going to see how Philippa, Paul and Andy all see this game shaping up for the weekend. That was Mystify by In Excess. Back now with Paul, Philippa and Andy to accentuate the positives. Robbie Scotcher says there, Philippa, the two best teams in the country at the moment, he thinks, are Liverpool and Tottenham. I think he probably have them in the other order. I think we probably have them all in the other order at the moment, but it's a striking thing that, you know what, as much as Liverpool have done our heads in recently, he might actually be right.
I think he is right. And I think at the moment you would probably say that Tottenham are better than we are. But when we've come up against Tottenham this season, I think we've looked like the better side in all three games. And I don't think anybody can really argue with that. So, I'm right with him there. I think they are the two best sides.
It shows sort of that, again, Andy, and you saying before about how we act like other teams, or Paul used the phrase the Harlem Globetrotters. We act like other teams are in terrific nick, but there's question marks about everybody around us. I thought City looked really good against Southampton, but you know, a couple of games back they lost to Chelsea, didn't really show up on the day, and that was off the back of three draws. At the same time, Chelsea themselves, they're having a little bit of a wobble. They're clearly, you know, having a fantastic season and probably still go on and win the league. But because we live in our Liverpool bubble, obviously, we see every strength and every weakness. We see them have a terrible, terrible first half against Stoke. And so therefore, we get on the backs of these players, whereas they've actually been performing well at a difficult and tough time of the season.
Yeah, Robbie thinks we're in the top two teams in the league.
Yeah.
I love all that.
Excellent stuff. It is. But we are, aren't we, at the moment? I think he's could be. As soon as he said that, I wouldn't have thought it. If I'd have thought of it, I'd have gone, don't be stupid. But he might actually be right.
If we qualify for the Champions League, it'll be off the back of the last two results, where we haven't particularly played well. But we've got the points. So I don't know. Are we playing the best football we've played all season? Absolutely not. Are we getting the most out of what we could possibly hope for, given the form we're in? Absolutely. And that's something that we haven't had before. So, yeah, if you're looking at it purely from picking up a points basis and being effective, yeah, I've got to agree with him.
It's, for me, the player has been central to that. And in the past, there's been a bit of criticism around, you know, he plays better when he's got his mates playing, whether his mates are just Coutinho, Lallana, Mane. But I think the player is central to Liverpool's second half performance against Stoke and victory against West Bromwich Albion, Paul, is Firmino. I think it's the two tremendous performances, really. One defined by the fact of the strike, but West Brom, it was an unbelievable 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I find it quite weird when being involved in this, get speak to fans of other clubs and they don't quite understand what he is or what he does, and that I think you speak to most Liverpool fans and they'll wax lyrical about him, you know. And I think it's only summed up in his last 135 minutes of football. He's been absolutely tremendous the last game and a half. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like him to add a few more goals to his game, but I don't think he has, for everything else he brings, that he has to add that many more. What's he on for the season? 11 or something like that. I think if he was between 15, 17, he'd be spoken about a little bit higher than he is.
The goals are the key thing that you're sort of looking at, but this is where, when we're coming up against a makeshift defence, and Crystal Palace's defence will be a makeshift defence for them, this is where I think, oh yeah, you know, these lads, they're going to be in for something now, because it takes a lot of getting used to playing with each other to deal with someone like Firmino, and especially if Origi and Coutinho were in good nick as well. You know, it gives you a lot of questions to answer. There's a lot of communication you've got to be able to get through for one.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to enjoy being harried by Firmino this weekend, and that to me is his real strength, that he sets off the pressing in a sense, because he kind of like just tries to nick him behind them so that the midfield can push up, and that for me is where he's really, really impressive. And I know what Paul's saying in relation to the goals as well, but his strike rate's actually really, really good.
I'm being hypercritical of him.
It's more that he's not maybe in the position to score often enough, rather than what he actually does when he is in a position to score. And to me, sometimes that's down to the other players around him. Maybe he's having to do a little bit too much work that maybe somebody else can take that weight off him, in a sense. But yeah, I it's interesting because my husband actually said that Barkley's a better player than him, and I don't know how I didn't just laugh in his face, to be honest. Because
you're a class act.
Yeah.
there is Andy on this, you know, the next one on this sort of is Coutinho, who's, we know he's had his issues last few games, but what he's actually done is he scored two scruffy goals in the process of having his issues. Two key goals across the way in which the game has played out. But he's also, it was noticeable, I thought, how long he stayed on against West Brom. I was sort of thinking it gets to 60 and you're thinking he's been getting the hook a fair bit recently. Whereas insofar as any of them are close to 100% fit at the moment, he actually looked up until about 79, 80 minutes when he comes off. He was still putting himself about, he was still covering a fair bit of ground. I think you might be seeing him come back to something that looks like fitness, proper fitness at the moment.
Yeah, it's match sharpness, isn't it? That's always been the criticism of Firmino with Coutinho. Sorry, it takes about 5-10 games to find the beat again. But again, that's something where, you know, we haven't really seen before. My one of the criticisms I had of Firmino and Coutinho again, sorry, is that he doesn't have a six out of ten game. Yeah. He's either very good or he's anonymous. Whereas in the last couple of games, you wouldn't say he was being particularly excellent, but he's made match defining contributions. Yeah. So I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. I'd rather him do that and score than play well and not.
And that's what we need to get across the board, maybe. And then maybe that's the ruthlessness aspect, Philippa, that we're going to get a bit more of, that we need to see a little bit more of. Liverpool have actually been, and they should be even more ruthless against West Brom, in that they're very good for 10 minutes after the break and they should take the game away from West Brom. But they see them out at the other end. However, first half, Firmino gets one chance right on the stroke of half-time, and he makes sure he's had a half chance earlier than that. And, you know, that sort of ruthlessness is the next step for this Liverpool side, I think. I think it's the next thing they need to get better at, the next thing they need to work out how to do.
It's about being clinical, isn't it? It's like if we get a chance against Crystal Palace early on, you want them to be able to take that, because I think that that can really influence the game in our favour. You kind of feel like if you're getting towards half time and Crystal Palace is still in it, you know, the kind of feeling that they're in the box seat really, and it's going towards their plan. So you want to be able to take the chance when it comes, and also not to leave yourself open. And I think that's probably what we did really well against West Brom. I felt like we took the chance when it came, but we was also really good in closing off any sort of gaps that appeared. And I think West Brom really struggled to find any kind of space. And in the end, he ended up bringing on all the big lads to just go route one. And to be honest, if Crystal Palace do that, I think it's in our favour because they've got Benteke. But I think apart from that, they've not really got anybody else who can benefit from that sort of play.
See, that's the self-defeating thing that they need to get out of their heads, that if you haven't scored within half an hour or the first 45 or or even 60 minutes, because you do your own head in, and it's right from the Sam Allardyce playbook that, you know, quieten the crowd, get them agitated, get them on their own teams back, and then really push on and try and grab something. And I think... Over the years, it's happened so many times where the atmosphere in there, you can feel it, the tension, especially when you're playing opposition that you think you should be beaten, by the way. Not so much against the big teams, you show a little bit more patience. And I think the manager's referenced that a couple of times as well, where, you know, just relax. It'll come, just, you know, try and be positive for as long as you possibly can.
I think we've been a lot better for that this season, though, to be fair. I think we've seen games like Sunderland at home, I'll use as the example, where... It wasn't necessarily feeling like it was going to come for us. And in previous seasons, I'd have felt that was just going to peter out into some sort of nothing draw. I think maybe more than the lads in the crowd, I think that players on the pitch have kept their head.
Well, on this, Paul, just quickly, you know, you mentioned there about, and it's been mentioned about Allardyce and keeping your head. It's noticeable for me, this one. I brought it up with Robbie before. You know, Liverpool faced Spurs half-four on the Sunday. Sorry, faced Palace half-four on a Sunday, and then on the Wednesday, Palace faced Spurs at home, 8 p.m. And this is why I think the first goal in this one's massive. We know how pragmatic Sam Allardyce is. And you sort of think that if Liverpool can get ahead, whether it's whatever stage of the game at which it comes, there's every chance that somewhere in Allardyce's mind, but certainly if it's in the first half, and maybe if it's by more than one goal, if somewhere in Allardyce's head he's thinking to himself, that sounds, we just shut it all down, kill the game off, they can have the 3 points, we save our energy and we're going to go again on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
it really wouldn't surprise me. We've seen him do that a number of times at Anfield.
No, I mean, no one ever really gives that style of manager a lot of credit for the cuteness sometimes, but I think sometimes they know when to pick the battles. And
so we've got to make it a battle that he doesn't, they feel as though that it's not worth it, it's not worth the hassle.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right. I think if Liverpool go in 2-0 at half time, he's like second half, as you said, let's not turn this into a rout, because that would be a negative effect for the Wednesday. But like, you know, if you can keep this here, can save your energy a little bit, Liverpool will take that. You know, Liverpool have got like the minimum of a 6-day break before any fixture, but they're not want to go and expend their energy chasing 5 and 6 nils at this stage of the season. But then obviously Palace the reverse, so no, I totally agree.
The first goal, Andy, the first goal as ever.
Yeah. Tony Pulis said that a couple of years ago, actually. I think they were playing Man United away and they got beaten heavily, and he referenced that. He said, well, we have a sheet. He basically admitted, we've got a sheet and we've got games where we think, I've got anything, it's just going to be a massive bonus. So, and there is that protectionism, especially if you're at that end of the league, you're looking where you can pick up the points and almost not sacrifice like yourself, but if, as you say, if you suddenly 1 or 2 nil down, you've got to think that could Spurs at home in front of the Palace, especially after the Arsenal results the other week, where they put Arsenal down, they'd be fancying Spurs a lot more at home than they would come to Anfield away. So certainly think that'll enter his thinking.
Yeah. I think that if we can turn this into, like you said, mentioned before, a battle that they don't necessarily want to get involved in, you know, if it remains 0-0, then obviously Sam Allardyce sort of person, he'll go, yeah, if we can get any sort of point out of this, then we'll take it. But if you're getting a lead against them, I can't see him turning around and saying to the lads, come on, we have to get something here. It's going to focus on the home games.
Quick prediction, Paul Senior first.
I fancy us. I don't think there'll be any routes going on, but I just fancy us for 3 points.
Okay, Philippa?
I think it might be 2-1.
2-1. Andy?
3-1.
3-1 Liverpool. Excellent stuff. It's been the Anfield Wrap this week. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to enter the site. Huge competition. You get the opportunity to win that book. You've also got Marine. You've got the Run for the 96 and you've got the Smithdown Road Festival. It's been a packed show, but more than anything else, we've got the Reds on Sunday. I keep saying it week by week at the moment, but if we win this one...
Sports Social Podcast Network.